Morning, church. Today we will be in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith but by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son, Isaac, on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it is counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. This is the word of the Lord.
You guys can have a seat. Hang tight, Justin, real quick. This is Justin Evans and his daughter, Piper, this morning. Piper, you did so good standing there. Yeah, well, that's nice. I had Justin read today in honor and just thoughts of today. Obviously, we're accompanying Memorial Day weekend. And so Justin has faithfully served our country in various forms, from the Navy to the National Guard, for 20 years. And we're thankful for it. Yeah. And so just in thoughts of that, it was a great day to bring him up and read the scripture for us today. So thank you for doing that, buddy. Appreciate you, man. Love y'all. Thanks, bud. All right. Obviously, today is a day where we have others that are present with us, too, that have also faithfully served in our military. We thank you for what you've done. It's also a day and a weekend, really, to be thankful for those that have gone before us in death, serving our country. And I think there's a way that we can celebrate that with a healthy patriotism this weekend. Of course, there is an unhealthy patriotism when we love country more than Creator. But Christians can have a healthy patriotism when we worship the Creator before the country. And so when we think of the things of our country, and that when they stir up thoughts of God, of course. And so be mindful of those things for this weekend. But Justin, again, and those who've served, thank you all for what you do. Open up to James 2, 14 through 26. We're in this series called Proof. And so if you've not been a part of us, you'll be able to catch up today, I think. And I want to tell you about an old Scottish guy who was he rode people across the river. That was his job. I guess you'd call that a ferryman. But in his boat, he had two oars, of course. On one oar, he carved the word faith, and on the other oar, he carved the word works. And one day when he was transporting passengers across the river, one of the passengers said, well, what's that about? Tell me about that. He didn't say anything. Didn't answer, respond at all. He just simply took the oar marked works and he dropped it into the boat and just began to row with only the oar marked faith. And all he did was just go in circles. After that happened, he exchanged. He switched them out. He picked up the oar marked faith and dropped the one marked works, rowing again, and eventually doing the same thing, just going in circles. After that failed mission, he grabbed both oars again and began to row simultaneously with both oars marked faith and works, eventually reaching the shore. As he arrived on the shore, he said to the passengers, "You see, only when both oars are working simultaneously can you reach the shore." The lesson is clear for us. A Christian must row his life with the oars of both faith and works if he is ever to reach heaven's shore. That's the gist of the entire letter of James. That's the primary purpose of our series called Proof. A salvation by faith is shown by works. The title of today's message is simply Faith Works. Faith Works. In this passage today, 14 through 26, the word faith is used 11 times. The word works is 12 times. Clearly, that is the theme of this passage. I thought it would be very important, of course, to not just assume that everyone knows what faith and works is, that it might help us if we're going to talk about it so much today, because James talks about it so much today, to properly define and make sure we're all on the same page. Faith is the genuine belief in God, who he is, and what he has done in the person and work of Jesus. So this is not just this blind faith thing. It's a specific belief in God and what he has done in the work and person of Jesus Christ. His life, his cross, his empty tomb as the only way for sinners to be made right with God. That's it. We are saved by faith alone. But as Martin Luther most famously said, we are saved by faith alone, but it is not a faith that is alone. It is accompanied by works. Works. What are works? Works are clearly the actions that demonstrate faith, that give the evidence of faith. They consist of anything from inner faith, inner works, or outer works. So let's not just immediately go to the physical things. Inner works. What are the inner works that James is going to be talking about today? Well, conviction of sin, repentance, a love for God, a desire to know more of God, a desire to read my Bible and understand the God of the Bible, a desire, the inner works of a desire to live a life that's pleasing to God. These are the inner works, some of them. There are outer works, of course, too. Obedience. Obedience to God and his commands. Practicing morality. That's an outer work. How we speak, how we act. Going to church is an outer work. But it's not just about going to church. An outer work is going to God for everything in your life. Every time there's something that happens in your life, a decision to be made, you don't just go to church, you go to God. These are outer works. Outer works, of course, of meeting the needs of those in the church. That's an outer work. Meeting the needs of the poor, the needy, the neighbor. We could go on and on and on about other examples, but works are clearly not the cause of salvation. They are the confirmation that we have it, that we have it. So today, God is going to speak to us through James to tell us two things. I believe that he is going to tell us that faith without works is pointless, and that a faith accompanied with works is proof. Okay, this is going to be the testing of the faith, the examining of ourselves kind of idea that we're going to do today in our faith. Let's look at this first idea. Faith apart from works is pointless. Let me read 14 through 19 again. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. You want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? You don't remember, James is writing to Christians, a letter to Christians who have a Jewish background. That's his primary audience here. And remember, these Jewish Christians now, they have been liberated from a works-based religion, Judaism. They've been liberated. They're just overwhelmed by the freedom they now have, just simply being approved by God by grace through faith. But some of them started to think that works were not that important or really didn't matter at all. And now he's concerned. Some of the people in the congregation may have a pointless faith, a phony faith that's not real at all. That's why he has such strong words. He begins with an absolute gut punch. What good is having a faith in Jesus without works? What good are words without works? Well, they're no good at all, he says. They're absolutely pointless to have a faith like this. And he goes on to give us an illustration. Like, he, remember last week he gave us this hypothetical illustration, the rich, the poor man coming into church and all. He gives us another hypothetical situation here to show us that a faith without works is pointless. And he gives us this picture again. The brother or sister, he's talking about a church member here again. Context is church. Church member has a basic need. We're not talking about greeds. We're talking about just basic needs. Food, shelter, clothing, basic needs. And you say you have faith. I believe in Jesus. But then you look at the brother in need and you say, well, hollow words, well wishes. And you give them just Christian cliches. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe you give them some thoughts and prayers. But you don't actually do anything about. You see that in the church, and you're like, somebody else will do that. Let me just give them the words. James is like, what good is that? It's not good at all. You don't give them what they actually need. They need food. They need shelter. They need clothing. And all you've given them is lip service. It's no good at all, is what he's saying. If you're a healthy church member here, and I mean connected, I mean you're in groups, you know people here, you're known by the people here. You're not just someone who comes into service and then jets when it's over. See you next week. Yeah, not that person. But if you're a healthy church member, you will see these needs all the time in the church. They're all over the place. Every single week in the life of a congregation just like this, You'll see people who've lost their job. You'll see people who are going through a medical crisis, maybe drowning in debt from a medical procedure. You'll see someone who just had surgery or someone who just had a baby. You'll see someone who needs help with home repairs, with transportation needs, maybe a car, someone who needs help moving, yard work. You'll see a widow or a single mom whose husband has abandoned them and they don't even know how to fix things at the house. You'll see that all the time. You'll see a student who wants to go to camp, but they can't afford it. You'll see a parent who desperately needs childcare so they can go on a date. You'll see parents who need help with fostering, with adoption. You'll see missionaries in need of money so they can go live sent for the cause of Christ. If you're a biblical Christian involved in your church, you'll see needs all the time. The question is what do you do when you see or hear the needs? What do? You just like the post or reply with prayer hands? You just kind of say, oh, I'm so sorry. That's terrible. God bless you. You just give them a bunch of Christian cliches and you don't do anything about it. You see, somebody else is going to take them that meal. Someone else is going to meet that need. But let me just give them some words. What good is that? It's pointless. And if you are someone who is always filled with a lot of words, but no works, you might be in possession of a pointless faith. This is what James is saying. Look at 1 John 3:17. But if anyone has the world's goods, that's all of us, we're all rich by the world's standards, and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. Church, God does not need your works. But everybody else around you does. Faith apart from works is pointless, is what James is saying. But he goes on, he really expounds upon these. There's really two subpoints here. Faith apart from works is also dead. It's dead. Twice in this passage, verse 17 and 26, James says that if faith of words without works, a faith apart from works is dead. It's like a body without the spirit. It is as dead as a doornail is what this faith is. What are you saying? I love what Adrian Rogers said about this. He says, the results of the autopsy of a dead faith are in. Cause of death, faith without works. Faith without works is dead. And by clear inference that if that faith is dead, so is the person who possesses that faith. It can't save them at all. They are still dead in their sins and their trespasses. They are like a spiritual corpse laying on a coroner's table. There's no life in them whatsoever, dead. Not only are they dead, that kind of faith, the faith without works, it will keep them from entering the kingdom. Listen to what Jesus says, Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, so this is the talker, this is the one who's got a lot of words. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Who does? But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Faith apart from works is dead. But then James just keeps going. He's not just gut punching us. Oh, he comes with another one. It's not just dead. A faith without works is demonic. It's demonic. Look at what he said in verse 19. You believe that God is one. Good for you. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Now, James, being an apostle and obviously witnessing a lot of ministry with Jesus, he knew that when they went to places, that it was often the demons who would recognize Jesus before anyone else. Oh, he's here. Have you come to destroy us before the appointed time? We know who you are. You are the Holy One of God. You see, demons are super smart. They're not dumb. They're highly, highly theological creatures. They know their Bibles. And they have an intellectual faith. They believe in the existence of one God. So they're not polytheist. I mean, there's not a lot of gods. No, they believe in the Shema. They believe in Deuteronomy 6, there is only one God. They believe the existence of one God. They believe in the virgin birth. They believe in the deity of Christ. They believe that Jesus Christ is the only way that sinners can be saved. They believe that he is the rightful king of the universe, that he will come again to judge the living and the dead. They believe in all of those things. But they have no works. They don't love God. They don't obey God. They have no inner works. They have no outer works. So if that's you, if you have all of those things, high theological acumen, a lot of biblical understanding of who God is. This is the person he's talking to here. You say you have faith, you believe in Jesus, great, that's awesome. You believe that Christ died for sinners, yep, said that, done it, done all those things, I get it. I've been to seminary even, I get all those things. James saying, well, if you don't have any works, your faith is no better than the demons. You're still sitting in the classroom with the demons. You might as well be a Satanist if you have that kind of faith, is what he's saying. So strong words. Strong, strong words. I think James writing this letter to this church simply will not allow anyone in this church receiving this letter to claim to be a Christian and sit comfortably if they don't have any works. He won't let them. He will not. And so when I read these things, and I'm like, I can't either. If James won't let anybody sit comfortably and think they're a Christian when they have no works, you can't either, RC. When you preach to your people, you got to let them know. Lives are at stake. Death, heaven, hell, souls are at stake right here in this moment. James is warning against the pointless faith. But he doesn't just criticize this pointless faith today. Thankfully, he gives us this example of faith accompanied with works to prove it. Let me show you what it actually is supposed to look like. Let's look at the second idea. Faith accompanied with works is proof. 21 through 26 or 25, let's read this. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, Was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? So James first calls two Old Testament witnesses to his defense. Calls two. First of all, he calls Father Abraham, right? Father Abraham, if you grew up in church, you know that song. Father Abraham. We call Abraham to the witness stand. Our ancestor, wasn't he justified by works when he offered up Isaac on the altar? Wasn't he justified by his works? And then look what, if maybe you didn't catch this, look what he says in verse 24. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Now, this completely should arrest your attention. If you have any understanding of salvation, you should be, hold on a minute. This is a problem. This seems, number one, like an apparent contradiction to everything, RC, you've ever preached before this church. This is way wrong. It's way different. What's going on here? If you know your Bible, if you know Romans, this seems like a clear contradiction to Paul's teaching in Romans 3 that by the works of the law, no human being will be justified. And now James is saying a person is justified by works. It seems like a contradiction, doesn't it? It should. You should. Everyone in the room should pause and be like, what the heck's going on right here? This is one of the reasons, by the way, that Martin Luther, he hated the book of James. He actually called it an epistle of straw, and he quote unquote wanted to throw Jimmy in the stove, is what he said. He's like, this book's no good. Look what he's doing. He's contradicting Paul. But that's actually not what's happening here. Let me explain that this is not a contradiction to Paul's teaching in Romans. Number one, both Paul and James both agree that salvation or justification is all 100% by grace through faith alone. They're not fighting toe to toe in these two books. Here's what they're doing. They're standing back to back, facing different churches. So just imagine just the picture. So Paul here, I'm going to try to physically demonstrate this. Paul here is facing a legalistic church who are trying to add works to salvation. He's facing that church. So all of his teaching is heavy justification by faith alone because that's the church he's facing. Now James, on the other hand, is facing a church that's filled with licentiousness. People getting drunk on grace. No works of the law. And he's telling them, you're crazy. How in the world do you think that you could suffer from easy believism? Just believe a prayer, say something with your mouth, and then not have works to show it. Paul's preaching is to people before conversion. James is preaching to people post-conversion. They are on the same team. There is no contradiction here at all. Saved by grace through faith alone. But works are the evidence that we in fact have been saved. And now, with somewhat of an understanding here that there is no contradiction, now the example of Abraham makes a little bit of sense. Because Abraham, if you know the story of Abraham, back in Genesis 15, Abraham was counted righteous. James says it here, counted righteous. He was 75 years old. He was counted righteous just by his faith alone. So called righteous, justified, about 25 or so years before he ever took Isaac to the altar. But it was his works. He demonstrated his faith when he hiked up the hill with a rick of wood with his son going up to slaughter him. It was that action. Of course, we know that God prevented that and provided a sacrificial lamb, but it was Abraham's faith, demonstrated by his works, that showed that he truly was a follower of God, that his faith was real. If he had never hiked up the hill, never took Isaac to the altar, we would say, you don't really believe, man, but he did, thus proving that his faith was real. Witness number two, Rahab the prostitute. Man, she cannot shake that last name, can she? She's like, do you really have to keep saying that? I think it's there for a reason. I think we are continued told that she is a prostitute because to remind us that God's grace is greater than our sin. That there is no human who can out-sin the cross of Christ. That's why she's called Rahab the prostitute. She may not like it, but we get it. But here's the thing about Rahab. Again, she had heard all of the stories about the Hebrew God and all the mighty things that he had done, the promises that he had made to send a Messiah. She'd heard all of that. She just believed. She believed and she had faith in God. Then, with great personal risk, she hid the spies in Jericho. She eventually lowered them down out of her window so they could escape. Her works were proof that her faith was real. I think the lesson here of these two stories is clear. If we believe in God, we will do whatever he tells us to do. Our belief will change our behavior because a faith accompanied by works is proof that we're saved. Now, before you or anyone else in this room rush out and kind of say, oh man, I really got to get busy doing some works. I got to go do some stuff. Give me the list, RC. Well, tell me the things that need to be done in the church. I got to start doing a bunch of works. Before you do that, hold on. Just push pause. I think we need to hear something very profound from the author and perfecter of our faith himself. Listen to what Jesus says, John 14, 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, so listen up, everybody. Hey. Whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do because I am going to the Father. Did you catch that? Maybe not. Let me help you. Jesus said that every true believer, every single true believer in Jesus will do the works that I do. Notice he didn't say every believer should do the works. Or every believer, you really need to do the works. No, he said every one who believes will do the works. Don't miss that. Jesus is saying, when I put faith in a person, it always works. You have to remember, faith is not something you muster up. No human can manufacture faith. Paul told us in Ephesians that we are saved by grace through faith alone, and this is not your own doing. It is the free gift of God. Jesus here is saying, hey, When God puts faith in a person, it always works. It never fails. This is, Jesus saying this is normative Christianity. A true believer will always produce works. It will be as natural to them as breathing. It's a big difference than going and getting busy doing stuff, isn't it? So here's what he, I think here's what the Lord's saying here. And I think this is kind of tying in what James is saying. If you're here today and you are someone who you might felt the gut punch from James, and you're kind of sitting there thinking, I don't know if I have enough works. I don't know if I do those things. I'm questioning my works right now. I got my attention here. If you're someone who's maybe honest with yourself, you don't necessarily feel conviction of sin. You might feel like a grief of looking around somebody catching you or something, but you don't grieve. Your heart doesn't grieve to God when you sin. You don't have no conviction. There's not a lot of repentance in your life. You don't fight sin. You just keep doing your thing. If you're honest with yourself, you don't necessarily have a desire to live a life that's pleasing to God. You see this book and you have no interest in knowing the God of it anymore. You're like, that's hard. I don't want to read it. I don't understand it. Whatever. If you're someone here, it's just like, I just go to church. If you're someone here who, if you're honest, you live for yourself. You don't live for God. You live for yourself and just do some nice things. If that's you, if you overlook the poor, you overlook the needy, you're always the one giving words, but you're not the one coming around helping you. If that's you, here's what I want you to understand. You don't have a behavior problem. You have a belief problem. That's the core issue. That's what Jesus is saying here. Your problem is not that you need to go do more works. The problem is with your faith that you truly may have never trusted in Christ as a Savior and a Lord. That's the point. So before you go get busy, you got to believe. Have you ever done that? That's the question here. Have you ever believed? You ever believe that you're a sinner and that you will die? You ever believe that everyone will be judged? Have you believed that you can't save yourself and that your only hope is Jesus? Have you ever believed that? Today would be a great day for you to stop believing in yourself and to start believing in Jesus. Be a great day for that. The band's going to come out. We're going to sing one song here at the end. For those who say that you have faith, I believe in Jesus, go prove it. Go breathe. Go do what you are made to do, what you were saved to do. To do works. Look at the work in your inner self. Start to examine the inner workings of you. Your desires. What makes your heart pump. What you love. What you long for more than everything in the world. Start to examine those things and see if the work of God is inside of you. And if it is, go and do. Go and do what you were created to do and what you were saved to do. Good works. Let me pray for us. Father, we confess right now to you that we have tried to do good works to make up for all the bad things we've done in our life. Somehow in our sinful nature, Father, we think that we can go to church and be better and do better, be better than bad people, try harder, join churches, getting baptized, reading Bibles, going to study. Somehow we think that by doing those things that we can be made right with you. Forgive us, Father, for trusting in ourselves. Forgive us for having a faith in ourselves. But God, thank you for giving us your Son, Jesus, who accomplished all the work that you require of us, a perfect work. I pray today that as your word goes forth, that it would have its cause and effect on every individual the way that you intend it to. I pray that you would cause some today to believe for the first time in their life in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for those who have trusted, who do have that faith, that you would stir up in us a greater belief, that we would not just say that we believed a long time ago, that we would say that we believe every day, and that belief every day would produce works in us. God, do that work that only you can do in the hearts of your people. By the power of the Holy Spirit, work in us. In Jesus' holy and precious name.